And I would like to encourage you to turn in your Bibles with me to the Proverbs. And I know if you look at your bulletin, we have the references of the Proverbs that I'll be reading. And just while you turn there, let me remind you that I'm continuing with our study in Romans this afternoon, Romans chapter 12. We're looking at verses 14 through to 22, and we're looking at the subject of let love be without hypocrisy when we suffer persecution for the Lord. So it's a wonderful passage. I want to encourage you to join us for that after lunch. So you'll notice that I'm going to be dealing with the subject of integrity, and I've been working through the Proverbs. We've been looking at various aspects of the senses, and now we're going to be dealing really with matters of character, matters of character. And I've chosen for my subject or topic today the matter of integrity. But I want you to notice that I have the Proverbs listed on the bulletin, but we're going to read from one psalm right at the end, Psalm 24. So be ready for that. So let's take a look at the Proverbs, and we'll start with chapter 10, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9. Thus reads the scriptures, and I'm reading from the New King James. He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. And then if you'll skip over to Proverbs 11, verse 3, you'll read, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Then Proverbs 19, verse 1, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. And then turn over to Proverbs 28, verse 6, which is very similar. It just says, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his ways, though he be rich. And then Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. And then if you can go to the Psalms, Psalm 24, I'd like to read from verse 3 to 5 and from verse 7 and 8. So if you turn over to the Psalms, I want you to read from verse 3 to 5 with me and then from verse 7. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. And then drop down if you will to verse 7 and 8. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. We'll read verse 10 as well. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. So as we think about this topic of integrity, I want to say to you that, as you can see from my reading of the scriptures, that the Bible speaks very clearly about this matter of integrity. In fact, the proverb speaks very clearly about the matter of integrity. And the proverb sets it before us as an essential character in the life of the godly or the righteous. Now, last week, my sermon was about guarding or keeping your heart. We actually looked at that in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 onwards to 4, verse 27. And the question we looked at was, why is it important to guard your heart? Because this is the seat of your being, as it were. This is the seat of your reasoning. This is the seat of your will. And from this spring the issues of life. Part of guarding your heart is understanding how important it is to protect your faculties. These are the means by which you take in the things of the world around you, but they're also the means by which what's in your heart comes out. In that text, the eyes we saw were the means by which the world can affect our hearts. In fact, Solomon tells us, let your eyes look straight ahead, your eyelids look right before you. The mouth and the foot are the means by which what is in your heart is expressed. Remember, as our Lord Jesus said, if the heart is evil, it will come out of the mouth. And the feet are the means to carry out what is in the heart, whether good or evil. In all these things, we saw that Solomon was calling his son to walk in the path of righteousness, to walk in the path of holiness. And he expresses that in his Proverbs when he speaks about the importance of integrity. So let's think about this subject. How do we define integrity? Before we do that, let's just ask the Lord's help in prayer. Our gracious Father, we pray for your help now. We pray for your Spirit to illumine our hearts and our minds. We pray that you would teach us truth in the inward man. We pray that in all of our thinking, you would be glorified, and that we would see Christ to be conformed into his image. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So how do we define integrity? Well, it's an English word. We know it well. It is a noun. You can find the definition of it in any dictionary. The Oxford Dictionary, which was my first choice, says this. Integrity in the moral sense, soundness of moral principles, the character uncorrupted, virtue especially in relation to truth and fair dealing, honesty. The Webster Dictionary says this, firm adherence to a code of especially moral or artistic values, incorruptibility, an unimpaired condition, soundness. The quality or the state of being complete or undivided. Completeness. That's how the dictionaries define it. And that's how we understand it in the English language. But the question is, beloved, how does the Bible define it? How does the Bible define it? When we look at the Hebrew and the Greek, what definition do we have of integrity? Well, looking at the Hebrew, and particularly in the Old Testament, and particularly here in Proverbs, the word integrity is a word that speaks of perfection. It speaks of purity, wholeness, innocence, blamelessness. When I talk about blamelessness, what that means is something that is, or someone that is free of guilt, not subject to blame. It could also have the meaning of respectability. In the New Testament, we find the word integrity, especially in this form, used in one place. There are many different derivatives of it, but one text in particular speaks about integrity, and it's Titus chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. This is what we read. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing integrity, that is soundness or completeness, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of him. So this is how Scripture defines integrity. It is the definition of the inner character of a righteous man. This is the description of a godly man. This is the description of one who walks after God, who walks in righteousness, who is holy before God. His whole being is sound in heart, in mind, and in action. He lives from the heart that is pure. that is sound, that is whole, that is innocent. He is a complete man. Based on the definition given in the Hebrew and the Greek, this is a man who has been conformed into the very image of the one who made him to be his image bearer. And that is God. A man with true integrity is a man who is like God. And he is like God because God has accepted him, and he walks with God, and he lives his life by the revelation of God and his word. Let me say this to you, beloved, and it's important to understand this when it comes to the definition of biblical integrity. We cannot ever hope to be men and women and children of integrity without seeing God. And we can only see God if he reveals himself to us. And the wonderful truth is that God has revealed himself to us, hasn't he? God has revealed himself to us first in creation. But then God has revealed himself to us very much more specifically in Scripture, which is special revelation. And he has revealed himself to us finally through his Son Jesus Christ. By creation, we know God exists, but only through the Scriptures or through special revelation. That is the way we truly get to know who this God is. It is through the Scriptures that we learn of who we are as human beings, fallen creatures, and that we learn what God has done for us and who he is for us in his person, Jesus, the person of Jesus Christ. Proverbs 29 verse 18 says this: where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but as happy is he who keeps the law. And really what we understand by this proverb is that without God's revelation, men become like animals, conforming to their base passions. Go to an island, or go to a place where there has been no preaching of the gospel, and you will find human beings living like animals, like savages. They live to their base passions. They become utterly lawless and miserable. But God gives his law. He gives his revelation. He shows us his character. And he shows us that he is the very one whom we are to reflect as his image bearers. But he shows us how lost we are. That is why this text says, happy is he who keeps the law. Because to keep the law is to be like God, to conform to his image, to be a man or a woman or a child of integrity. Only in God is peace and happiness to be found. It's to be like God. But even in describing integrity in this way, beloved, maybe you might have the question in your heart, well, if that's what integrity is, I'm very far from it. I'm very far from it. You see, the scripture asks this question. Psalm 24 verse 3. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? Here's the question. Can any fallen human being draw near to God? If that's the definition of what integrity is, and really when I think about my own heart, I know I am far from that. I look at these proverbs, and then I go to the psalm, and I hear that question, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? And I ask myself the question, can any fallen human being draw near to God? The psalmist tells us, no. In fact, this is what the psalmist tells us. Only he who has clean hands and a pure heart. In other words, he who is truly a man of integrity, a person of integrity, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. In fact, the psalm tells us very plainly that only the ones whose hands are clean, never done anything sinful, and whose heart is pure, who've never been guilty of idolatry or lying or anything deceitful. This is the man of what the psalm says will receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. My question to you this morning is, are you such a person? Am I such a person? Who can receive the blessing of the Lord? Who can receive his righteousness and salvation? It is only such a person who can say that they can have real access to God. They whose hearts are pure, holy, acceptable to God. And the reality of the matter is, beloved, that every human being without Christ cannot say this. This is our problem. And this is the reason why we need a Savior. Because we have no integrity of our own. We have no integrity of our own. We are by nature wicked and unable to obey God's law and find true happiness, because the reality is we are born alienated from God. We are born hostile to Him and we walk in darkness. That's the problem. Particularly as we think about the subject of integrity. But let's think a little more about the witness of Proverbs here regarding integrity. Let's take a look at these verses that I read to you. Proverbs 10 verse 9 tells us this: he who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. Now what's interesting here is the context is that of Solomon speaking to his son. And it's really meant to be a picture of a godly father counseling his son. And I want to say just in parenthesis that this is where integrity is fostered and cultivated, with godly parenting, with a godly father spending time with his son and teaching him and showing him what godly character looks like. This is where integrity is learned. But let's think about what he is saying here. He who walks with integrity walks securely. If we think about Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26 to 27, which I preached on last Sunday, this is what the proverb says: ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Last Sunday, I said to you that this is the pathway that Jesus described to his hearers as the narrow road that leads to life. Matthew 7 verse 13 to 14: enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So when Solomon says he who walks with integrity walks securely, he is literally saying to us as Christians today, this is the man who walks in the narrow pathway. This is the man who walks in righteousness, and his path is secure. It is the narrow path that leads to life. The flip side of that is the man who perverts his way is the one who's on the broad road that leads to destruction, and ultimately his life of sin will be exposed at the end. Throughout Proverbs, you have this contrast of the path of righteousness and blessing that God bestows on those who walk in righteousness, and the path of the wicked and the curses and the consequences and the wages of sin that God inflicts upon the soul who rebels against Him. In Proverbs 10 verse 2 you read this, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. In verse 3, the Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire of the wicked. Verse 6, blessings are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. It is clear from the Proverbs that the path of the righteous man who walks in integrity is a path of blessedness. And you know, beloved, what's so important about that is that he walks this pathway in a world of death and sin and wickedness. Psalm 23 verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So in the midst of this broken world, in the midst of this world full of corruption and sin, the man who walks in integrity walks in the blessings of God. He walks in the mercies of God. God lavishes his mercies upon him. Listen to this, Proverbs 10 verse 6, blessings are on the head of the righteous. And then Proverbs 10 verse 7, the memory of the righteous is blessed. Proverbs 10 verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongs his days. Proverbs 10 verse 28, the hope of the righteous will be gladness. Proverbs 10 verse 29, the way of the Lord is strength for the upright. The righteous will never be removed. The way of integrity is a way of great blessing. Psalm 84 verse 11 says this, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. But let me go further as we look at Proverbs and think of the life of integrity and expound on the blessings of this life of integrity. Not only is this man's life blessed, but the life of his children are blessed. In Proverbs 20 verse 7 we read, the righteous man walks in integrity, his children are blessed after him. In other words, this blessing doesn't just relate to him. It's not just something that God gives to him. It's multi-generational. His example, his life carries on long after he's left this world. And his life affects the lives of not just his children, but his grandchildren and his descendants after him. On the other hand, the man of wickedness dies. And even though he is soon forgotten, his wickedness, sadly, is a curse upon his children and his grandchildren and his descendants after him. But let's move on. Not only are his children blessed, but this man of integrity, even his very speech is blessed. His very words are life. Proverbs 10 verse 11 says, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. 10 verse 20, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. 10 verse 21, the lips of the righteous feed many. 10 verse 31, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. His speech, his conversation, his presence is a blessing. But not only that, his labor is a blessing. This is a man who, when he works, he doesn't just work to get through the day and put food on the table and make sure that he's getting a big inheritance for his children, or he's working for his retirement. No, this is a man who works with the kingdom in perspective. This is a man who sees even his works as a means of blessing others with the knowledge of God. Proverbs 10 verse 16 says, the labor of the righteous leads to life. And Proverbs 11 verse 30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. The to the blessing of the righteous ones. This is the blessing of those who walk in integrity. But what about those who don't walk in integrity? What they bring is disaster. What they bring is destruction. And you see, let me say this to you. We're not just talking about people who are overtly wicked, but we're also talking about people who try and pretend to be righteous, who try and pretend to be good, who think they're being good, but in their hearts they're evil. And they're sinful and they live for themselves. And Proverbs says in the Legacy Standard Bible, this translation says, but he who makes his way crooked will be found out. And let me say, beloved, where there is wickedness in the heart, no amount of outward pretending, no amount of wallpapering, no amount of plastering over can ever cover the truth. Remember what our Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees? You whitewash tombs. You make the outside of the grave attractive, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 says this, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. This matter of integrity is a matter of the heart, friends. It's a matter of the heart. This is not something we can fake it until we make it. It is a principle as steadfast as the laws of nature. Whatever is in the heart will eventually come out. That is why Solomon warns us, we must guard our heart, because truly out of the heart come the issues of life. If there is wickedness in the heart, it will come out and it will be exposed. But let's move to another proverb I read to you early on. Proverbs 11 verse 3. Notice what Solomon says here. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. A man of integrity walks in the light. His heart loves God, and he loves life, and he seeks to honor God. Jesus said of a righteous man, he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. John chapter 3 verse 21. And a truly righteous heart, or a truly righteous life, comes from a truly righteous heart that is steeped and rooted in God, that walks with God. Every decision is made in relation to God and to God's truth. You see, such a man can never be lost because he walks before God. Psalm 139 verse 8 speaks of a righteous man in every circumstance and says this, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from me, but the night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you. This man doesn't change based on his circumstances because he is following God. And in every circumstance, as long as he follows God, he has light. He has God with him. And this is what Proverbs 13 verse 6 says. Righteousness guards him whose way is blameless, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. I hope you're beginning to get the picture, beloved. Is there any question in your heart and mind that the man of integrity or the person of integrity is someone who is truly blessed? Is the person who, even in a broken and fallen and darkened world, knows which way to go because he is following God? The man who is his own God, on the other hand, the man who wants to walk by his own fire, walks in darkness. And the sad thing about such a man is that he thinks he's going in the right way. But Solomon warns him. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the pathway, or the way that that man takes, leads to destruction. Woe to you if you think you are the captain of your own soul, my friend. Because nothing could be further from the truth. You are on the pathway to destruction. But let's move on as we look at Solomon's testimony. Proverbs 19 verse 1, this is what we read. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than the one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. And then in chapter 28 verse 6, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his ways, though he be rich. You see, the man of integrity understands that this world is perishing. And he doesn't cling to the things of this world. He understands that it is better to be righteous, that it is better to be pure, that it is better to be innocent than to be wicked, and to be loved by the world, and to have all the trinkets and all the baubles of the world. Our Lord Jesus put it this way, friends. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? How many of us have not been tempted in this way, especially when we rub shoulders with the world, especially those of you who are in the corporate world, and nobody is watching, nobody is there to hold you accountable, and you're tempted to speak like the world, and you're tempted to pursue the things of the world. The man of integrity sees these things, and he knows he would rather be poor than be a rich man and lose his soul. It is all well and good to talk about the blessed life of the man who walks in integrity. Can any of us deny that there is great blessing that comes from a life of integrity? I think we can all see it. I think all of us want that life of integrity. All of us want to know those blessings that Solomon lays before us. In fact, when we think about Solomon, we could rightly turn and say, but Solomon, you spoke about these things, and yet, look how you turned away from the Lord. And so the question, the burning question we must wrestle with is this. Who of us can say, we are this man, our lives reflect this integrity, we deserve these blessings of life, and the salvation of a life of integrity? Who of us can say that? Integrity, by its very definition, beloved, is, in my understanding, personal holiness. It is the life and character that God blesses. And we will never know the blessings of God without it. That's one of the things that David wrestled with in Psalm 51. You desire me to know truth in the inward man. There's this great chasm, this gulf. You want me to know it in my inward man. And then he cries out, make me to know it in my inward man. Jesus tells us very plainly, beloved, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If only those who walk in integrity will see the Lord. How do you gain such a heart? How do you gain such a heart? Well, let me answer that question and talk about the true pathway to integrity. If we go back to Psalm 24 and we remember the question David asked, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Whom or who may stand in his holy place? David was wrestling with this. Think about that. He was a man with blood on his hands. Who may do this? And he rightly answers, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Can anyone here say that they have lived in this way? Can any man claim that he has clean hands, has never done anything sinful or evil, and that he doesn't have idols in his heart, or that he has never lied or been deceitful? David says, this is the only man who shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of salvation. Amongst those of us who are born on this earth and born to sinful parents, none of us can say, we have done this. There is none righteous. No, not one. None seek after God. The only answer to this question, beloved, is that we need a Savior. We need a Savior to save us from our wicked rebellion and our idolatrous heart. And God has sent us a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ, and let me say, He is the one of whom I believe these Proverbs is talking about, the truly righteous man. This is who Proverbs is describing. When we read about integrity, Jesus is the only one who came in the likeness of man, who lived a perfect life of obedience, purity, innocence, soundness, and blamelessness. And what's glorious about Jesus, friends, is that He is the second Adam. The first Adam failed, but Jesus came to save that which was lost. The first Adam broke the law of God. The second Adam comes in our likeness, and he obeys and he keeps God's law for us in our place. And so he procures all its blessings for us in his person. He alone has clean hands and a pure heart. He alone is the one in whom there is no guile nor deceit found. Scripture says of this Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." This Jesus came, and not only did he live a life pleasing to the Father, a life of righteousness, a life of purity, a life of innocence that he did for us as a human being. But he also suffered and he died to take away our sin. In 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 18 we read this, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." And so let me say to you, before you can come to these problems and say and think to yourself, this is what I need to do, this is how I need to live, you will fail until you've come to Christ, until you have believed on Jesus Christ, and by believing received His righteousness, received His Holy Spirit. It is only then that your heart will be changed, that you'll be given a heart of flesh, and you will be able to live as these Proverbs describe. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says this, "Therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away, behold, all things have become new." Let's pause for a moment, beloved, and think of the beauty and the reality of what I'm saying to you. It is because of this good news that we can take the Proverbs and look at them in the gospel light and see that they are more than merely moralistic principles, that they are more than merely truisms for life. But rather, in Christ, they become expressions and descriptions of what an obedient, holy life looks like. One that is rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. Let's take those Proverbs again and look at them in the light of what I'm saying. Proverbs 10 verse 9, he who walks with integrity walks securely. Think about what Solomon is saying here. Think about it in the light of the gospel. The way that Jesus lived and walked on this earth in perfect righteousness was so secure as to save everyone who believes him. So that when Thomas asked him, show us the way to the Father, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Beloved, let me say, if we know God through Christ Jesus, we will walk as Jesus walked. We will follow him. Not because we're trying to please God, but because Jesus has pleased God for us. And we are now living out and walking in the righteousness that Jesus has secured for us. Joyously. Living in eternal life. Enjoying it here on earth. And the blessings that come with it. Because of his integrity, purity and holiness, and his perfection and completeness, we are accepted. And our obedience to God is from that glorious place of the security of his perfect righteousness. It's from the place of rest. It's from the place of trust, not from the place of striving. Listen to what Hebrews says. The witness of the apostle in Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25 to 26. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us. Listen! Who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens. It is in Christ that we meet God, friends, and we inherit the blessings of salvation. You know, early on in Proverbs 29, verse 18, I read this proverb that says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. We would never know that happiness because we could never keep the law. Because James tells us that he who seeks to keep the law must keep the whole law. If he fails in one area, he's condemned. But Jesus kept the law. He is the Word of God. He is the exact revelation of who God is. He is the radiance of his glory. He is the lawgiver and the one who kept the law for us. He has become the end of the law for all of us. By his obedient life, and the way he opened up and secured for us all the blessings of the law that have been kept are ours in Christ Jesus. By his glorious works, beloved, we have believed. We have believed upon him. And because of that, we are new creations. And because of that, we have received his Spirit who abides in us. And we now love him because he first loved us. And he made us willing in the day of his power. And so we follow him from the heart because we love him. If you are my disciples, you will love me and you will keep my commandments. Take Proverbs 11 verse 3. Solomon says, the integrity of the upright will guide them. What pathway has Jesus set before us? A pathway of faith. And what pathway is that? That is a pathway of love. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 13, love is the fulfillment of the law. And in Ephesians, Paul tells us this. This is the way, the pathway of integrity, which is the pathway of love to God and love to man. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. That is the happy pathway of every Christian. On the contrary, the pathway of the wicked is a pathway of evil destruction. And Paul warns, he says in chapter 5, verse 3 to 7, "For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." If these things are manifesting themselves in our lives, beloved, it is because we're not following Christ anymore, but we're following our own hearts, and we're deceiving ourselves. Pathway of integrity is to follow Christ, and it is to follow Him in the pathway of love, but it is to follow Him in the pathway of light. You see, beloved, we have no more fear to come into the presence of God. We don't need to pretend to be something we're not. We can come as sinners. We can come as sinners and confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us. Listen to what Ephesians 5 verse 8 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." Beloved, we can walk in the light. We can. David said, understanding the atonement of God, even though he saw it, but through shadows. "I thought that I had sinned, and you forgave me." Because he trusted God as his Redeemer. And beloved, when we trust in Christ, we can confess our sins, and He deals with our sins. And He purifies us. And He makes us obedient. And He gives us grace. And He teaches us faithfulness and obedience. Let's take another one of these problems. 19 verse 1. "Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool." And then 28 verse 6. "Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his way, though he be rich." You know what Paul wrote? Oh, what Jesus did. In the light of that, Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he was truly rich. Yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." You see, brother, what happens is God sets us free in Christ to see that the treasures and the trinkets of this world are but garbage. They're trash. They're fool's gold. They're fading. They're passing away. Christ gave up true riches. All the riches and the blessings of being in the likeness of God. He humbled himself and became obedient of death to death. He became poor so that we could become truly rich. It's because he took my poverty that I can stand secure, steadfast in this world, and not succumb to the filthy conversation and the corrupt world, losing my soul for the sake of its fading treasures. It is because that he became poor for me, gave up his riches, that I can see this world for what it is. This is what Jesus said in his Beatitudes. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." I can truly desire the richness of knowing God and forsake the treasures of this world. And even though I may be seen as poor and impoverished in this world, I am blessed. A life without Christ, beloved. No matter how much wealth you have in this world, is a life that is hurtling towards destruction and God's fiery judgment. And I want to warn you, young people, you who profess to know Christ, as you go out into the world, do not be tempted by the riches of this world. Do not be tempted and allured by the trinkets of this world, because it will destroy your soul. It is better to be rich towards God and poor in this world. To have Christ. There was one old Puritan who was overheard one day, and he was sitting at a table and he had a stale, crusty piece of bread and a cup of cold water, and he lifted his eyes to heaven and he said, "All this and Christ, what more could I have? What more could I desire?" Finally, and I will bring my sermon to a close with this final text. I wanted to end with Proverbs 20, verse 7. We read this: "The righteous man walks in integrity. His children are blessed after him." Can you not see how Christ fulfills that? Through Christ's suffering and death, through his faithfulness to God, we have become heirs and co-heirs with him in the heavenlies. We are his blessed offspring. We have been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. There is nothing that God has withheld from us because of his faithfulness, because of his integrity and godliness. He has secured every blessing for us. Because he has done that, beloved, we can run with all our hearts in the way of holiness and righteousness. We can be found on the path of holiness, living a life of godliness and faithfulness to him. Putting off the old man that is carnal and fleshly, and living by faith the life that God has given us. A life that is being transformed from one degree of glory to the next. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." There is no blessing that God has withheld from his children. We will never be able to go to God one day and say, "We had this deficiency or that deficiency, because you didn't give us this or didn't give us that." No. It is all being provided for us in Christ, every spiritual blessing. And because of that, beloved, we have no excuse to live lives that are ungodly and unfaithful. We have every reason to live godly and faithful lives in Christ. Because there is a fountain open for us, a fountain drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. We can come again and again, and Christ will forgive us and cleanse us and heal us and strengthen us and empower us. This is what Romans 8, 13 and 14 says: "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." It is inevitable, beloved, if we walk with Christ, we will be like him. We will know the life of true integrity. We will know the life of purity and innocence. We will know the life of soundness and wholeness. It will be by degrees, but we will know it. And we will be like Paul, who says, "Not that I have attained this, but I press on to make it my own." We will taste and know that God is good, and we will pursue him. And the more we pursue him and the more we enjoy him, the more we experience the riches of the blessings of what it is to be a person of integrity. I need to close. But I want you to think about this text as well in the light of your own family. The righteous man walks in integrity. His children are blessed after him. I want to speak to the fathers and the mothers. I've thought a lot about this. Quite a bit about this week. If you are not following Christ as you should, your children will not see Christ. They will see you. They will see your weaknesses and your inconsistencies and your failures and your hypocrisies and your faux pas. It's inevitable. And they will follow you and they will learn from you how to be hypocrites. But if you follow Christ and you keep short accounts with Him, they will see Christ being formed in you, and in spite of all your weaknesses and in spite of all your failures, they will see grace and they will see the power of the Spirit, and your life will be a blessing to them. Your life matters. Your example matters. And God uses your life and your example. You can go through countless accounts in history. John Newton, whose mother prayed for him, she was a godly woman. He was a tyrant, preaching blasphemous sermons on the bridge of the ship, hating God so much, and it was the godly example of his mother that God used to touch his heart and to draw him to himself. Your godly life, your life of faith and trust in Christ matters to your children, beloved. It matters to them. It's what they will remember when you are dead, or they will remember your failures and your hypocrisy, and they will want nothing to do with Christianity. The righteous man walks in integrity. His children are blessed after him. Walk after God. Walk after Christ. Follow him and love him so that you can turn to your children and say, follow me as I follow Christ. And let me end with these last words. This last word of promise, which once again reminds us of the pathway of integrity that is secure, that is established for us. That pathway, that highway of holiness of which Isaiah says, even a fool will not go astray on it. This is the promise God gives. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless in full integrity before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face upon you. May He lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And all of God's people said, amen.